The chances are, however, that they're not. And that's not just me being mean. I'm sure you're well aware that the likelihood of any idea going anywhere is pretty slim. Most new businesses barely make it off the starting blocks, and more often than not, the ones that do are destined to fail. So in light of the terrible odds facing these bright-eyed entrepreneurs, the chances of their businesses making it are, at least in my opinion, even more slim. If their ideas haven't so much as had the oxygen of discussion, they really don't stand a fighting chance. Pessimism and optimism. Ideas are extremely precious little things. You can absolutely assume that the first incarnation of any idea is completely wrong, that it needs more bashing about, further iterations, until it actually makes sense. I sometimes think that the perfect environment for an idea to succeed is one with equal parts of blind optimism and honest pessimism. Let me explain what I mean by this. First off, there's definitely a need for a little bit of blind faith in the recipe of what makes an idea succeed. If you analyse any idea enough, you'll soon put yourself off starting it at all. The thing is that most ideas don't make a lot of sense in the beginning. It's only by having the faith of actually getting them going and learning as you go that you'll wind up hitting upon a model that works. Because of this, you need to have a bit of faith. Throw yourself completely into your idea, even if it isn't perfectly mapped out at the start. So many entrepreneurs are waiting to complete a business plan or do more market research. The truth is that your idea will never be perfectly formed before it gets out into the world. Basically, you just need to start. Coupled with this faith, you need your idea to go through a bit of a beating. If nothing else, you need to talk to a few people to be sure that you're not completely crazy, or at least that your idea isn't. You will be tempted to simply ask your friends and family what they think, but the fact is that they aren't really going to give you impartial advice. They love you too much to tell you honestly if your idea stinks. So you need to try running your idea past some people who have been there and done it before, or some people who are inside your chosen industry who know what they're talking about. You need to find some people who aren't afraid of hurting your feelings, people who don't have the kind of vested interest in you or your idea. This process doesn't need to take a lot of time, and of course, later in the book we'll talk about some of the ways that you can find this critique very quickly. If you can muster up enough optimism to throw yourself wholeheartedly into your idea, and also find some pessimists to bash it into shape, your little caterpillar of a concept might well grow into a beautiful butterfly. Of course, some of your ideas will be beaten to death by pessimism, and perhaps quite rightly. Never be too pig-headed to change your idea or change your mind. If all of the advice comes back as a thumbs down, maybe consider your other options. No matter how many ideas you have to go through, the most important thing is that you maintain your optimism. I guarantee that if you do that, eventually you'll make a start, and you'll graduate from wantrepreneur to entrepreneur. My start as an entrepreneur. In my case, I always wanted to be an entrepreneur, perhaps from an unusually young age. I'm not exactly sure where it started, but I was always making things and selling things to neighbours. My earliest memory of trying to make some money was when I was about 8 years old. I baked some cakes and sold them to my teachers at school. I sent the money that I made to Greenpeace, my favourite charity at the time. By 10, my entrepreneurial ambitions had grown, and I was fascinated by the simple businesses that I came across as a child on the outskirts of my hometown of Edinburgh. I visited a local chicken farm with a childhood friend. What a great business, I thought. The farmer just had to feed the chickens, they lay eggs, and he can carefully steal them and sell them for a profit without having to share any of the takings with his feathered employees. Bingo. We convinced the farmer to give us a box of eggs for free, which I took home to my mum and dad and explained that we'd had this great business idea. We would keep the eggs warm so they would hatch, and we would sell the eggs that the resulting brood of chickens would lay. As I'm sure you can imagine, my parents weren't particularly keen on this business idea of turning their suburban back garden into a chicken farm. Fairly used to my harebrained schemes by this point, however, they let us give it a shot, not really expecting that 2 10-year-old boys could find a way of hatching eggs. And so we put the box of eggs on top of the cable TV box under the telly where it was kind of warm, and amazingly, 3 weeks later, 4 of the eggs hatched into little chickens. The poor things probably thought that Jerry Springer was their mum. We raised the chickens in the house, gave them names, and soon they were big enough to go out into a house my dad built for them in the garden. Before long, they were laying eggs, which we sold to the neighbours. Unfortunately, my chicken farming career was sadly cut short one afternoon when the local fox decided to eat my chickens for dinner. I guess you could say that I learned my first real lesson as an entrepreneur, that at the absolute least, you should look for a business idea that doesn't have any natural predators. As I'm sure you can tell by this point, my beloved parents were very supportive of my no doubt exhausting entrepreneurial energy as a child. My interests baffled them.